Again, it's so good to see each of you this morning. We're thankful for the privilege to be in God's house. And I want to start the service this morning by saying, this is always dangerous for a preacher to say, I know, but I want to try to cut it a little bit short today for this reason. This Tuesday probably is one of the most important days that any of us have ever faced in our lives. And I would like for us to conclude the service today with a time of prayer. So I plan to cut it a little bit short. That's my plans. Don't hold me to it. That's my plan. I already know that doesn't always work. But that's my plan, is to cut it a little bit short. And I encourage the folks that join us by way of YouTube to join us in that prayer as well after the meeting, after the service. I ask you to turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Romans, chapter 8. We've been looking at some very basic, fundamental teachings concerning salvation. We've looked at the fact that God is sovereign. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and everything came from God. Then we saw that the Word of God is the absolute truth. It's the very basis, it is the body of truth by which that we can live our lives and know that there's direction for us in our lives. Then we saw the ugly part of it, and that is that man failed. Man fell in sin. He fell to the point of being dead in trespasses and sin. And then from that we saw that even before that took place, before that man fell, God already had His plan in place. He had already formed a covenant, a promise between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, that He would have a people unto Himself, that He would save us by the blood of Jesus Christ, that He would draw us unto Himself, and that He would call us His children, and we could call Him our Father. And as we look at that, now we see that today we're going to look at that He chose us, but in choosing us, He also has a place prepared for us. We're going to look at the subject of predestination this morning. Now, I know that word, it scares a lot of people, and I hope and pray that if there's any kind of jitters inside when I use that word now, that by the time we leave, those jitters will be gone. I think that most of the reason of that people say they don't like that word predestination is maybe because of a misunderstanding of it. And I'm not here to say that I've got all of the insight on it, but I want to present it in such a way that I can understand it, okay? And if I can understand it, then you'll be able to understand it also. I want to break it down just as simple as I can. Let me read our text first. Romans chapter 8, starting with verse 28, reading through verse 31. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, and that is His electing grace, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn amongst many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. Why shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? That comforts me, doesn't you, to know that God is for me and that God keeps me in His loving grace. May we pray. Father God, we bow before You this morning and we just want to say thank You. Thank You for the eternal love that You bestowed upon us. Thank You, Father, for Your grace that covers us and holds us in its clutches in such a way that nothing can ever separate us from the love that You have for us. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for Your care. Thank You for Your Word. And Lord, I pray now that You'll grant grace that I might be able to present Your Word simply and sincerely in such a way that it is easily understood and that we honor You through our understanding of it. In Christ's name we pray, and amen. First of all, I want to say in verse 28, I think there's probably levels to that. I personally believe that there are events that take place in our life that God works together for our good. I believe that with all of my heart. But I don't think that's the only application to verse 28. I don't think it's just for the events that take place around us. Because if you notice, in verse 28, he says, all things work together. In verse 31, he says, what shall we then say to these things? Has he switched subjects? Or is he saying that between verse 28 and verse 31, there's some things that work together for our good? I tend to believe that in verses 29 and 30, there are those things that God works together for our good. What shall we say then to these things? All these things work together for our good. What works together? Before the foundation of the world, God foreknew us. And again, you know, that's something that our minds really can't begin to comprehend. Because there are millions and millions of people that I don't know. And yet God knows every one of His children, from Adam the first to the very last one that shall be conceived in his mother's womb. He knows every one of us. He knows us by name. He knows everything there is to know about us. He knows the very hairs that are on our head. He knows everything. God foreknew us. God's knowledge and understanding is perfect in the way in which that He looks upon us. So it says, who He foreknew, them He predestinated. Those, and I'm coming back to that word, as you know. Those that He predestinated, He called. Those that He called, He justified. Those that He justified, He glorified. And notice it's all in past tense. Everything that is here in verses 29 and 30 is past tense, as though it's already taken place. But can I tell you, in the heart and mind of God, it has already taken place. It's already sure. It's already steadfast. God declared it, and that's the way that it is. That's the difference between God and us. We make certain declarations of things that we're going to do. We can't always follow through with it, can we? There's things and situations and circumstances that come up and prohibit us from carrying out things that we've promised that we're going to do. But with God, there's nothing that's unforeseen. There's nothing that comes up that catches Him by surprise. There's nothing that comes up and says, oh, wait a minute, I got to back up and go to plan B. He has declared it, and He brings it about. God foreknew us. God predestinated us. God called us. We'll get to that, okay? I'm trying my best to stay on the subject this morning. But He called us. That's being born again. That's regeneration. We call it the effectual call. When God calls us from death to life, He called us. He justified us. We'll look at that also. By the blood of Jesus Christ, He justified us and He glorified us. That's when we'll be raised and taken into heaven's glory. Can I tell you that the last thing, verse 5, is when predestination will be complete? Let me break it down. Predestination. You know my mind by now. I'm simple. Not an English scholar, but I'm going to try to bring back what little bit I know about English. The prefix pre, what does it mean? Beforehand, right? Beforehand. Predestinate, pre, beforehand. Destinator, destination. What is destination? It's the point of arrival, right? Predestination. Predestination. Before the foundation of the world, God prepared a place for us, and it's called heaven. And everyone for whom Jesus Christ died will enter into heaven's glory. They will, because they are predestinated, predetermined that that's the destination that we're going to arrive at. I say to you, whether somebody wants to admit it or not, but anybody and everybody believes that heaven is our final destination, guess what? They believe in predestination. I could say amen and just close it now, but I'm not finished yet. You know me better than that. But that's the simplicity of it. God beforehand determined our final destination, and that is that we're going to be glorified and be just like Jesus. I think it was probably when I was here, when we were here in the 80s, that the commercial was, I want to be just like Mike. Michael Jordan. Remember that? I want to be just like Mike. I want to tell you something. I don't want to stop that short. I want to be just like Jesus. I want to be just like my Lord. And God has predestinated that when we leave this body, our spirits return back to Him. But there's coming a time that God has foreordained that at that moment, the trumpet's going to sound, the archangel is going to give a shout, Jesus is going to appear, and we're going to be, the bodies are going to be raised from all this grave in the cemetery back here. It's going to be empty. The bodies are going to be brought forth, and the spirit in the body, which is being glorified at that point, is going to be reunited, and we'll be with the Lord forever for all eternity, because God has predestinated that to take place. God has determined that that's exactly where we're going to spend eternity. This morning, do you believe that we're going to heaven as children of God? You believe in predestination. You believe it. You believe it. You may not want to call it that, but you believe it, because that is exactly what predestination is. God has determined that for all eternity, we're going to be in His presence. If you're going to make a trip, many of you like to travel. I like to travel, but not the same way I'm about to say. I don't like to fly. But when you get on a plane, are you going to get on that plane and not know where it's going? When you get on that plane, do you believe that the pilot knows where the destination is going to be? It's already predetermined, right? You don't get on there and say, where are we going? You know where that plane is going. It's predetermined that that is the destination that that plane is going to. So you get on that plane that's already, the route is already determined, the engines are ready, and you take off, and you, Lord willing, you get to where you're supposed to be going. And if you get in my car and take a trip with me, you might know where we're supposed to be going, but you don't know the route I'm going to take, because I don't normally. I change it around. But with God, the destination has been determined, and the way has been determined. Do you remember what Jesus said to His disciples the night that He was betrayed? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Predestination. Now, there are things that are foreordained. There are things that have been planned, and God has ordained it to happen. For instance, God ordained His Son to come into this world. God ordained that at a certain time that His Son would be nailed to the cross. God ordained, I believe, right down to the very minute when Jesus would say, "It is finished," and would breathe His last breath and give up the ghost. I believe that. I believe that God is a God of order. Go to the first chapter of Genesis, and you can see that God is the God of order. Before He created the trees, He first created the atmosphere. Then He created the solid earth that we live on. Then He created the waters and separated them out. Then He put the sun, the moon, the stars, and the sky. Then He brought forth the dry land. Then He put the trees and the grass there. Can you see how that God, before He does one thing, He has everything in place to support it? Our getting to heaven is not going to be a chance thing. God is the God of order. He's determined it, prepared it. And praise God, that's where we will inhabit when we leave this earth. That day is going to happen because God has ordained it to happen. Nobody knows when it's going to happen. You know, every so often we have somebody that rise up and say, well, on such and so day, that's going to be the last day. Get ready. Get ready, because that's going to be the last day. How many times has that happened through history? More than I can count on both hands and both feet. But just because it hasn't happened to this point doesn't mean it's not going to happen. It is going to happen. Peter in his second letter talked about the scoffers that would say, well, where is his appearing? He said he's coming back. I'm going to tell you, it's going to happen. Jesus, when he was asked about it, he said, let me just say, he says, of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven. And this is something that just boggles my mind. He said, neither the Son, the S-O-N himself, neither the Son knoweth when that's going to happen, but the Father. Just because I don't know when doesn't mean it's not going to happen. I tell you, there's coming a day, there's coming a time when those clouds are going to split, the sun is going to appear, the S-O-N, and we're going home. We're going to a place that God has prepared for us. If you will, go with me to the book of John, chapter 17. John chapter 17. There's so many scriptures that I could have used, and I even have in my notes, but I'm trying to bring it down to the point where that. As you're turning there, I will say this. Those five things that are listed in Romans chapter 8, we will not get to glorified without the first four taking place. You don't bypass any of those to get to glorify. He's foreknown us. He has predestinated us. He has called us. He's justified us. He's glorified us. And we can't get to glorification without being foreknown. We can't get to glorification without being predestinated. He says all of these things work together for our good. Not most of them, not some of them, but all of these things work together for our good that God has done and worked in our lives. Okay, so now John chapter 17. It's the night that Jesus is betrayed. He has his, at this point, 11 disciples that are there. Judas has already left, done his thing. He has the 11, and the last thing that he does with them is this prayer. He prays with them. It's the most humbling thing. He's already bowed down and washed the feet of his disciples. He's taught them. Some people say that they were walking along when this happened. I don't know. I personally think they're still in the upper room when this is taking place. I believe that Jesus bowed down and he prayed with his disciples. I'm not going to read all the prayer, but I'm going to read the beginning and the end of it. Starting with verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. It's time. If you remember, many times before this, they tried to take his life. They tried to stone him. They tried to take him. But it always would say his hour had not yet come. His hour had not yet come. You see, God's in control. But now the hour has come. It's time. The hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to who? As many as thou hast given him. As many as thou hast given him. And as I said last Sunday morning, I believe that number is more than the stars that are in the sky or as the sands of the sea. You can't count either one, and you can't count the total number of those that were given to the Son before the foundation of the world. And yet Jesus knows us all by name. And the Father knows us all by name. The Holy Spirit knows us all by name. And in His time, He comes to us. He quickens us. He makes us alive. And we'll get to that in another one. But He says, as many as thou hast given Him, He's given me power over all flesh. Over all flesh. Now, just a quick side note. God did not predestinate anybody to hell. Okay? Let me explain what I mean by that. God did not predestinate anybody to hell. He didn't have to. Why? Because our sin already had condemned us. Remember, Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn you. I came to save you. We were already condemned. That was our destination as we saw ourselves. And it would have been our destination if God had not foreknown us, predestinated us, called us, justified us, and glorified us. That would have been our destination. God intervened on our behalf. God came to us on our behalf through His Son Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit. He didn't have to predestinate us to hell. Our sin did that. But He saved us from that. He saved us from that. And again, I'm going to say, I believe, I won't know till I get there, I believe there are more that are His than there are not. I believe that the blood of Jesus is that powerful that there are many more that are His. I don't know them all. You don't know them all. But praise God, He does. As many as Thou hast given me. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. I have glorified Thee on the earth. I finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. Restore to me that which I laid down. You and I, we have no way of knowing exactly what it was that Jesus left to come to this earth until we get there. I'm going to say something that's going to be an extreme. I don't think it'll happen because I don't think we're going to remember anything about this earth when we get to heaven. That's just my thoughts. But can you imagine entering into the gates and looking around and saying, you left this for that? If we could understand the difference between the glory of heaven and the filth of this earth, and the distinction that's made between the two, our understanding of Him would be heightened. Our glory of Him would be glorious. We would be at that point where that we'd be jumping for joy because of what the Lord has done for us. He saved us. He saved us from ourselves. He saved us from our sins. He saved us from that which separated us from Him. If you've ever gone through and experienced a time when you felt like that the Lord had just left you to yourself, you know exactly a little bit of what it's like to be in that separation. It's not a pretty place to be when you feel like the Lord has turned and walked away from you. And yet at the same time, when you think about that and you understand that He hasn't, that He's drawn us unto Himself, He left heaven's glory. And now Jesus is saying, restore that back to me. It wasn't a begging thing. Jesus knew it was going to happen because the Father had promised it. And he was saying to us that the promises of God are so sure and steadfast that as He entered this darkest time that has ever been in the history of the world, He entered into it with the precious promise, I'm going home. In fact, just prior to this, He said, if you love me, you would rejoice to know I'm going back to the Father. I'm going home. I'm going back to that joy and that glory and that beauty that earth has no way of understanding. And I'm saying to us this morning, God has predestinated us to enter into that same, to be in the form of, in the image of Jesus Christ. I'll never be that on this earth. I can assure you that. Because I have to contend with this flesh. But there's coming a day. There's coming a time when I'm going to be just like Jesus. And you're going to be just like Jesus. We're going to be filled with His glory, filled with His majesty. We're going to, I can't even describe it. Glorify Thou me with Thine own self. That's what we're going to have. We're going to have the glory of the Lord because of God's grace and His mercy and His love. You say, how do you know that? All right, let's go down to the last part of the prayer. Go down to verse 20. Got time. Go down to verse 20. In this part of the prayer, He said, I'm not just praying for these 11 men that are here. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as Thou, Father, art in me. This is your promise, okay? This is Jesus promising this to you today, that you may be one as Jesus is one with the Father. I rejoice in that. I rejoice to know that. that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. That's how we are even right now. We are at one with the Father. We are at one with the Son. We are at one with the Holy Spirit. Why? So that the world may know that there is a difference that is made when Christ indwells our hearts. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. We'll get on belief later on in this, okay? But right now I just want us to see what God has prepared for us. And the glory which thou gavest me, I've given them. The problem is we have it in an earthen vessel. And so therefore sometimes that clouds the glory that is ours, that is within the inner man, that which is born of the Spirit of God. He says, I've given it to them that they may be one even as we are one. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Did you get that? God loves you exactly the same way that He loves His Son Jesus. Let that sink in for just a second. The same love that the Father has for His only begotten Son, He has for you. There's no degrees in His love. Let me just read it again. And hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will. We talked about the last will and testament a couple of Wednesday nights ago. Here's the will of Jesus. Father, this is my will. This is my last will and testament, if you want to put it that way. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Now, if Jesus has put you in His will, and we've been adopted into the family, if I understand this correctly, an adopted child cannot be disinherited. An adopted child must be included in the will. At least that's what the law used to be. I don't know if they've changed it now or not. We are adopted children of our Heavenly Father. We're in His will. There's nothing that can take that away from us. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am. If Jesus wills that for you, what's going to stop it from happening? Nothing. That's the will of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which is already said is the glory of the Father that was put back on him. They may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Now, if God loves you the same way that He loves Jesus, and God loved Jesus before the foundation of the world, when did He start loving you? I'm going to borrow this from somebody else. If you can go back and find where God began, you can find out when He started loving you. I don't know when that was, though, do you? But I can tell you this, God loves. Not God will love or God has loved. God loves. That He loves us before the foundation of the world, just as He did Jesus. O righteous Father, the world hath not known Thee, but I have known Thee. And these have known that Thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them Thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith Thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. I just want to say this morning that if God ever stops loving you, it's a mighty big if, isn't it? If God ever stops loving you, then you can throw that will out the window. But I'm going to tell you, before He stops loving you, He will have to stop loving His Son. And that's not going to happen. He loves us eternally. He chose to love you. I know people get hung up on that term election. Let me just tell you this. He chose to love you. He chose to love you. He didn't have to love me. He didn't have to love you. He chose to love you. But because that He loves you, He has, and again, we'll get into this later on, He brought us into the family, but He prepared a place for us that we'll be in His presence for all eternity. For all eternity. That's predestination. God has prepared. Jesus said, "You believe in God, believe in me also. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will," there's that two words again, "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." I pray that in some way the Lord has allowed me to be able to speak on this subject of predestination, that so much confusion about it. But I pray that maybe a little clearing has taken place. If not, then let's talk about it some more. And you can clear me up or one vice versa. But let's just rejoice in what the Lord has done for us. May we pray. Heavenly Father,